The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. And we are back. What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of Miller71.com. I'm your humble host, Jeff Elliott, a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas, much to the chagrin of many, where I hopefully make the CPA exam far, 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 far more exciting than it was ever intended to be. Happy Monday to you. Today is Monday, March 18th. Hope you had a most excellent St. Patty's Day. Well, I'm going to switch it up today. Number one, my questions come from Facebook. Instead of answering the Ask Jeff questions at another71.com, I asked people if they had any questions on Facebook. I bribed them with three 10-point combos, and I got an excellent response. Also, I've been transitioning my podcast to YouTube, really for no other reason than just to have stuff on YouTube and cast a wider net. But I was like, you know what? I don't think people are getting as much value with just having an audio. So I put in an extra hour. Maybe it was even, yeah, it was about an hour. Put in an extra hour and I made a presentation. So I hope you find this beneficial. So if you're listening to the podcast, it's about the same. If you're watching the video, it's completely different. And we had 20 or so questions on Facebook, and I tried to group them by topic. And so here we go. Evaristo says, and by the way, if I butcher your name, it's because I'm from Kansas. Evaristo says, I did extremely well on the audit multiple choice questions, but not so well on the simulations. What's a good way to tackle studying for the simulations? Well, make sure that you are doing the practice simulations at AICPA.org. And click around. You can find the sample tests and tutorial. I've always said that if you know the material well enough to do well on the multiple choice questions, you will do well on the simulations if you can navigate the sims. And I still think that that is the case. And So going into what Rafi asks, what is the best way to prepare for reg sims? The ones in my homework didn't help much. Also, most of my time is taken up by the multiple choice questions, and it's difficult to allocate time to the sims. Now, when you know the material well enough to do well on the multiple choice questions, you breeze through those multiple choice questions faster. Now, granted, if you're doing well, the questions will ratchet up to a more difficult level. And so it might be harder to move through the questions as quickly, but if you know the concepts well enough, you will spend less time on the multiple choice questions and you will have more time for the simulations. So make sure that you've practiced the tutorial and know how to do the research component. And also, mess around with some simulations in your study software. Practice a few, but the key is to understand the concepts. And how do you understand the concepts better? You go through your video course. You use supplementary materials. And you work a ton of multiple choice questions. All right, moving on to financial accounting and reporting. Jenna says, I am currently studying for FAR and I work full time. I'm getting a little worried because I'm reading some horror stories about this section. What would you suggest as the top things to study or do in the week prior to this specific section of the exam? Well, Jenna, I don't think it matters what exam you're studying for as far as the week before. The week before, if you follow the ninja framework, hopefully You've watched your videos, you've done your multiple choice questions, you've taken notes, you've rewritten your notes, you're using like a study guide, like the Ninja Notes or something like that. And so now you have this awesome set of notes that you've written, or like my, or the Ninja Notes or whatever. And you carry those around with you wherever you go. And so if you're at the doctor's office, if you're at work, if you have a spare moment in the grocery checkout line, if you have them on your iPhone or something, you can just, like Ninja Notes, go on your iPhone, open up an iBooks, boom, study. Before you go to bed at night, study. Time is of the essence. Study wherever you can. Now, you want, so, okay, I can answer this specifically for Far. Let's say that your weakest area is governmental, or let's say not-for-profit, one of those two. You can, basically, you start with your weakest area first and work backwards. So if your weakest area is governmental, you work 20 multiple choice questions and work, you work 20 multiple choice questions. If you score a 70% or better, you move on to your next weakest section. And 70%, it's an arbitrary number. Some people freak out. Some CPA review instructors like, rah! 70% is an arbitrary number. But so let's say it takes you two sets of 20. So you work your first 20 governmental accounting questions, you score 50. And by the way, this is in study mode, so you're reading each answer explanation after each question. And on your second set of 20, you score a 60. On your third set of 20, you're building a foundation, and you score a 70. You move on. Jordan says, I've recently began studying for the FAR exam, and I've noticed a tremendous amount of different topics that can be very detailed and tedious. Rather than being overwhelmed at the scope that FAR covers, do you have any advice on how to mentally handle studying so much information? You want, well, they say that FAR is a mile wide and an inch deep. You want to cram that study session, all of the information, all of your videos, your notes, your multiple choice questions, cram that into as short of a window as possible. I see people emailing me freaked out because they studied 3 months for FAR and they score a 59. Well, that's because you spent 3 months. Study for FAR 6 to 8 weeks max and get yourself in there. That's why you're studying 30 hours a week. You're kicking it. And then get yourself in there and take FAR. Don't spread it out too. I mean, it is a lot of information. And so you want to cram it all in there as you really want to cram all the information in there. Go in on exam day, barf it all out, and then leave. Jennifer writes, I'm studying for FAR and I'm feeling overwhelmed with the amount of information. Okay, by the way, I can't tell if the mic is picking this up, but I think my kids are having like a roller derby upstairs, but I guess that's part of having a family and trying to record a podcast in the middle of the day while you're at home. But that's okay. I guess that's part of the charm, right? All right. I'm studying for FAR, and I guess I'm feeling overwhelmed with the amount of information covered in this section of the exam. I'm not good at memorization, and I want to know, I'm going to get an email, you're so unprofessional. Yeah. Yes, I am unprofessional, I guess. I'm not good at memorization, and I want to know if there are any tips on memorization that you could help me with. Well, Jennifer, there are certain things that lend themselves to memorization, like what are the governmental funds? Memorize those. I have acronyms for that. And some CPA review providers, like, they have an acronym for everything. It's like, people almost remember the things that don't have an acronym. It's like highlight. Like sometimes you see people. I ran into a gentleman the other day. He was a law professor, and he had every page. He had a law book open. He had every page highlighted, or sorry, every line of the two pages highlighted. I'm like, what? So, same thing. People have acronyms for everything. Most of it is going to come from just excuse me, I coughed, but I had the presence of mind to hit mute. Most people have most of the information lends itself to just understanding the material conceptually. So what that means is you have to do a ton of multiple choice questions. You have to understand the concepts. You have to understand why the different columns do what they do in an amortization table. Okay? Things like the governmental funds, you just memorize those. You don't have to understand them. But shy away from the memorizing, shy away from the mnemonics. Again, there's a few mnemonics that are okay. But if your review course isn't teaching you the concepts, and if they're going the cheap route by all these crazy mnemonics, then you need to supplement with something else like the Ninja Notes, or you need to fire that course and bite the bullet and get another one. Sticking with the financial accounting and reporting theme, Andrew says I'm taking FAR for the second time. And every time I study, I stress over the amount of information that's contained in FAR. I always feel like I'm behind my, quote, schedule on my study plan. Any advice on how to not be intimidated by the amount of information contained in FAR? Well, like I said earlier, cram your study window as tightly as possible. But also keep in mind that everyone feels the same way that you do. Everyone hates FAR. Everyone is intimidated by it. Whew. Yeah, I'm in my mid-30s and I sound like a 14-year-old. So you want to just remember 50% of the people that take FAR pass it. And I guarantee you 100% of the people taking FAR are afraid of it. So just work your program, work your multiple choice questions, study your butt off, and you will pass eventually. I mean, you might not pass this time, but you will pass. Jeremiah says everything can be expected to appear on the FAR exam, okay. But realistically, what's the chance that business consolidations will be on it as a simulation? Praying for 0%. Well, if you were the AICPA, and if you knew that people don't want to have consolidations as a simulation, because that's a tough topic, what simulations would you put on there? The ones that people don't want to see. So should you know how to do a business consolidation sim? Yeah. You know the tough topics in FAR, the bread and butter topics in FAR. Be prepared for a simulation. Don't walk into that exam praying that you don't get a business consolidation sim just because you don't want to study it, because let's face it, it's not fun. Well, you'll be taking the exam again. And I speak from experience, because when I took reg, I scored back-to-back 74s. When I was getting ready to take my exam, when I actually scored my second 74, I hated AMT. I understand it now. I hated AMT then. I did not want to see light count exchanges because I didn't want to study it. Well, I scored a 74 again. So what did I do? I studied AMT. What did I do? I studied light count exchanges. And I don't even remember what I saw on my exam. If I did, I wouldn't tell you, obviously. But I can tell you that going into my exam, I did not want to see those topics. Same thing with you. You don't want to see a business consolidation sim or whatever. Well, you know that stuff is going to be on the exam, either in multiple choice format or simulation format. You're going to see it. It's part of the content specification outline. And you might get lucky and it's lightly tested, or it might be your worst nightmare. So all that to say, the chances of seeing a tough topic like that are actually pretty good. Derek writes, I'm studying for the audit portion of the exam, moving on to auditing. There's just so much information. How did you condense it into what's really required to study? Well, when I was studying, I studied for auditing in 3 weeks. And basically, you can study. I mean, some of it is very conceptual, like in internal control. They can ask you a question, and you have to think through the framework and think about all the different types of risk, and if one increases, the other one goes down, and the relationship between substantive testing and detection risk, and all of that. So some of that is conceptual, but a lot of it is just like, and this is kind of like my canned answer for everything. You have to work a ton of multiple choice questions. People spend all of these hours on these CPA review videos, where they're watching an instructor telling them what's in a book, and they do that. I mean, it's a good idea, and they invested a lot of money, so they're like, "Man, I'm gonna watch all 50 hours of this thing or whatever." But then they run out of time, and so they shortchange themselves on the multiple choice questions. You really have to put in a lot of time in the multiple choice questions, because you can be fed all these concepts, but if you don't take the concepts and then work it out in exam land, because understanding the concepts is one thing, understanding how to apply that knowledge to tackle CPA exam questions is another. You have to understand how to, the little curveballs, the little quirks. You have to understand how to answer the questions and kind of navigate the material the way that the AICPA asks it. Moving on to BEC. Artie writes, for BEC, how much time should I allocate for the three essays or memos at the end of the exam? Well, I actually haven't thought about this. That's a good question. Okay, so what's BEC? BEC is now 3 hours long. When I took it, it was 2.5 hours, and there were no written communications. It was just three 30-minute testlets. But now the written communications are there. So you have 3 hours, and it's kind of lame to do this while I'm recording. But let's just work this out together. All right. So you have 3 hours. It's 180 minutes. And you have, let's say that you want to allocate 45 minutes to the written communications. That leaves you 135 minutes for the multiple choice. So that's about 1.5 minutes per multiple choice. Is that reasonable? Yeah. 1.5 minutes per multiple choice questions. Some questions will take you 2 minutes. Some questions will take you 15 seconds. So, and again, some people were like, wah. But I would allocate at least 45 minutes per question per written communication. So that gives you, 45 minutes for the entire written communication, which gives you 15 minutes per essay. Sorry. Karina writes, I'm studying for BEC. What would you say is the best way to memorize or remember the cost accounting formulas? I'd like to finally pass this exam. Well, Karina, at least in the Ninja Notes, I gave you like the base cost accounting formulas where you can solve for anything, cost of goods sold, and all of that. What you need to do is you need to memorize the formula one way, however you want to do it. Memorize the formula one way and be able to solve algebraically for any variable. So whatever format, however you want to memorize it, do that and then be able to solve algebraically for any variable versus, and I'm not giving you the formulas because I want you to look, I want you to go in and dig into the formulas yourself. Versus memorizing three or four different formulas, memorize one and then be able to solve algebraically. Philip writes, I passed the FAR in auditing exams. I'm getting ready for BEC. How do I best prepare for the difference between simulations and the written communication? Philip, the difference between the simulation tabs and the written communication, essentially, they're going to say, Joe Bob of Joe Bob & Co. Want to know the impact of total revenue when a good has inelastic demand. And so you have to write your thesis, the body of the paragraph, which takes your three main points, and then your conclusion, which recaps your point, recaps the question, the points, and like your conclusion. And I always put my name, comma, CPA. So I would answer the question, Jeff Elliott, comma, CPA. And I don't know, I guess I was kind of like Babe Ruth calling my shot there. But I just always did that. And apparently it's okay because I passed. But the difference is, like with your simulation, you'll have fill in the blanks, you'll have drop down menus. You don't have that with written communication. You're just straight up typing. And make sure that you run the spell check. And make sure that you're dropping keywords. Don't misspell anything. Don't use improper grammar. And if you can't remember what to do, then just BS your way through it using keywords. Moving on to regulation. For reg, Kari. I can't even pronounce that, so I'm not going to say it. I'm sure I'm just stupid. But for reg, at the minimum, which tax credits phase out? And I apologize. Send me an email and I'll send you a free set of ninja notes just because I'm so ignorant that I can't pronounce your name. For reg, at the minimum, which tax, email Jeff at another71.com. I apologize. For reg, at a minimum, which tax credits phase out amounts are important to know. All right. So people worry about on regulation, what tax credits, what phase outs, etc. do you need to know? The regulation exam is surprisingly conceptual. Okay. And so you don't have to memorize a ton of stuff. When I passed regulation with a 92, I knew the Section 179 deduction and the phase out, because that's just obviously a big one. And that's the only one that I memorized. I was like, there are so many, like, whoever memorizes all that stuff, you can memorize all that stuff and then not even need to know it on your exam, because again, the regulation exam is surprisingly conceptual because tax laws change with every whim of Congress. The AICPA cannot keep the test bank updated with every decision that Congress makes. And so, if you have like a question banking like 10,000 questions, the chances are good that you'll have old questions left in there that don't get expunged. And so the regulation questions are very conceptual. And so I walked into the exam. I knew the 179 deduction and phase out. And apparently that's good enough. At least it was on my exam because I scored a 92. If I were restudying today, that's what I would memorize. And then just understand the information. Like, the business law, the tax stuff, tax laws and all that. But just like specific numbers, that's the only one that I memorized. And I messed up in my slide here. I duplicated Philip's question. Danielle writes, I'm taking my first exam in April and I have a constant feeling that I'm behind. I expected the material regulation to be difficult, but how do you know when the review material you're using is just inefficient or if it's just the exam process? I'm thinking about switching packages for my next exam and see if I feel a difference in prep time. Well, you know, people pass the exam with every review course under the sun. You take any review course, you'll find someone out there that's passed with it. Does that mean that it's right for you? No. And so you see people, in your specific case, I would just keep rolling with your review course, study your tail off, and then go in there and pass. Now, if you don't like, if you hate studying because your instructor like has these crazy mannerisms that just make you not want to get up at 5 a.m. like, who wants to get up at 5 a.m. and study? Who wants to get up at 4:30 a.m. and study? And so anyway, and so if you have this instructor with these crazy mannerisms that you just cannot stand, then, you know, maybe you're shallow, maybe you're not, but, then you do need to get a new course and shame on you for not studying the demos. Now, I don't know if that's what happened to you, Danielle, or not, but, I'm sure that some review courses are not efficient, like you said, because they just like tell you to study everything in the book and they cover everything in the book. And the book contains everything, including the kitchen sink. So it's hard to know. But I would just roll with your course and just see what happens. All right, Jessica, she had a long question. I just got all of my material to start studying this week. I read some of the ninja tips for studying for the exam and rewriting my notes. It's something that I've always done. Good job. But I also really like to highlight things I find important when I'm reading material. Then I'll go back through it and write my notes. I'm afraid that methodology might take up too much time. I also like to use colorful pen colors. I like pretty colors to help my brain become more engaged. Do you personally think ditching the highlighter and bright colors makes a difference? All right, let me answer that question first. My whole thing with when I say put the highlighter, I say in the ninja framework, repeat after me, put the highlighter down. It's because, yeah, let's say that you go through your book and highlight all this stuff. When you're reviewing, are you going to go back through your book and go through all the highlighted stuff? Okay, let's say that you do. When you're skimming each page, like, okay, so yeah, like these hundreds of pages to get through, you're like, da 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 da. Like, as you're skimming these pages, is the material really sinking in? Does it really mean anything to you just because you colored something pink or because you colored something green? What is a better use of time and will click with your brain better is writing it down and then rewriting it. So, yes, I would ditch the highlighter. Of course, if you feel like, Jessica, that highlighting really works for you, then stick with what works for you. But I do think that highlighting pages does not trigger anything in your brain. Especially when you're like, da, 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 da. I mean, like you have all these financial accounting and reporting pages to get through, and each page has like three things highlighted, and so you're just like, okay. By the time that you get to the middle of the book, you're like, oh, forget it. And so you're just like skimming. Well, you would be much better off if you had taken good notes and then rewrote those notes in your own voice to begin with. And then her second part of her question. Also, what are your tips for planning out studying prior to an exam? How long, 2 months, etc.? Would you recommend studying for each section before taking the exam for just that section. Sorry for all the questions. Not trying to get bonus points. Just didn't realize how many questions I actually have. No problem. Well, I would take the Ninja Study Planner and plan out your exams. And that's free at another71.com. But these are arbitrary. For financial, I would study 6 to 8 weeks. Auditing, 6 to 8 weeks. Regulation, 5 to 6 weeks. BEC, 4 to 5 weeks. Now, some people study more. Some people study less. I wouldn't study any more than 8 weeks for anything. I would study, again, 7 weeks for financial, 8 weeks for financial, max. Because you start to lose what you studied in week one after that. And hopefully I answered all of your questions, Jessica. Thank you. All right. Another Jessica. Hi, Jeff. I'm studying for FAR right now using my CPA review course with a good amount of homework problems. I'm considering purchasing the Wiley Test Bank and the Ninja Notes for additional supplemental work. What is the best way to implement the Test Bank and Ninja Notes into what I'm already using? Thank you. All right. If your study program comes with its own software, then, and this goes for any study software that you add in, work the questions in your study software first, and then work the additional questions in the supplementary materials. And then when you're reviewing, you can work 20 and 20 in brand A's study questions, and then work 20 in brand B's study questions. So you do 20 questions in governmental accounting, and then switch platforms and work 20 questions in the other one. It gives you a different feel for the exam questions. It just helps you to cast a wider net for the way that the exam might ask. Because most companies use AICPA licensed questions. And then how to use the Ninja Notes. A lot of people don't like taking their own notes. Or even if they do like taking their own notes, they like to rewrite the Ninja Notes. And that's good because rewriting the notes helps you to absorb the material a lot better than just reading it. And also your video courses are so broad and cover so much information. How do you hone in on like the absolute must know concepts and like keep those in the front of your brain? Maybe I'm going to get an email, Jeff, actually the front of your brain doesn't store stuff that I don't know. Tabitha writes, how can I decide if I need supplemental study material instead of just deciding that I'm not studying well enough? Well, you can take the exam your way, and then if you fail, add supplementary material. Or it's kind of like hedging a bet or hedging an investment. You can add some supplementary material like the Ninja Notes or whatever. And if it adds 5, 3, 4, 5, 10 points to your score, and you end up scoring a 76 instead of a 70, then it was well worth it because you don't have to pay another $250 for a notice to schedule. With the Ninja Notes, I have the free demos at another71.com. They come with the free study planner. And as always, I have the no drama refund guarantee if you buy them and then don't like them. Because that's just how I roll. I'm not sure if anyone else out there gives refunds. So it's kind of ironic. And yes, I do hope that this is an example of irony, because it really bothers me when people use irony, or they say that something is ironic, but when really it was just a coincidence. It is ironic that a $67 set of study guides offers a refund guarantee, but a review course that costs hundreds or thousands of dollars does not. Okay, I hope I pass the irony test. Sharon writes, how do you become an Another 71 blogger? Well, Sharon, from time to time, I'll reach out like, hey, all of my ninja bloggers have passed, which is a good thing. If the ninja bloggers never passed, that'd be bad. All my bloggers passed, I need new ones. So we recently had a new crop of bloggers. When people write in and say, hey, I want to be a blogger, I always add them to the list. And from time to time, I'll be like, hey, do you still want to be a blogger? Because, like for instance, last time I put something out, hey, I need more bloggers, I had like 80 people like, yeah, I want to be a blogger and all that, which is awesome. But if you can, you know, there's only 7 days in a week. And so if you have 80 people, you know, you have 10 plus bloggers a day. Number one, we can't edit those posts and put up all those posts. Number two, that's just overload. So I think I went with like 20 or so this time. So, but Sharon, if you email Jeff at another71.com and say, hey, please put me on your blogger list, I will gladly put you on the list and will hopefully get to you while you still are in the exam process. All right, next topic, study for multiple exam sections. Gonzalo writes, is there any advisable approach towards studying for multiple parts in the same testing window? I do not recommend studying for two exams at the same time. I've done it. It's terrible. It's not advisable. And plus, the exam nowadays is harder than it used to be when people had to take them all at once or conditioned. It is harder. Have your boss email me. I'll tell him why he's wrong if he says that the old school exam is harder. Because it's not. It's harder these days. And so, like, let's say that you have to take two in a testing window. BEC makes an excellent exam to pair up with, like, FAR or REG or auditing or whatever. Or if you're in, like, a time crunch, like you're trying to take two exams during busy season. Take one at the beginning of the testing window. Take the other one at the end. Or like, let's say that you started studying for auditing March 1st. You could take auditing like April 15th. So you take it during mid-month of month one of the testing window. And then you take your second exam like May 31st at the end of the second month of the testing window. So that way because you have 3 months. 3 months and a quarter, obviously, and you study a month and a half for each one. So use that blackout month to your advantage. Catherine writes, I need to pass all four sections that I've sat for at least a dozen times within the next testing window. I've been studying for FAR and BEC simultaneously over the past month. Any recommendations for good techniques for studying two sections at once? I do not have a good way of doing that because I tried it and I was terrible at it. Try to separate them if you can. Study for two sections at once. I'm not your guy because that sounds cruel and inhumane to me. And I tried it and I couldn't do it. I spent all of my time on BEC and had to just show up on exam day. My notice of schedule was expiring, so I just show up on exam day, throw a Hail Mary, and that fell flat. So try to stagger them if you can, Catherine. Reader writes, my question is about studying multiple sections. I have 115 days before three parts of my software expires. Should I just start with FAR and BEC, both of which I have one fail, or start with auditing, which I like and find it easier to study? Rita, I don't think it matters because you're going to have to start over anyway with FAR and BEC. So like, you know, let's say you scored a 65 before. Well, you have to, or even if you scored a 74, you have to start over from the beginning, from scratch, and study. So do not cut any corners. So if studying auditing, which you like, will put some wind back in your sails because you need that wind, Rita, if I were you, I would do auditing. That way it kickstarts your studying, gets you motivated. And plus auditing is going to change July 1st. So bingo, take auditing now. Moving on to CPA exam order. Steve says, I took the exams before and didn't pass. Is there a section? And if you're watching this on the video, I just copied their questions on Facebook verbatim. And obviously on Facebook, it's hard to edit. It's hard for the poster to edit a question. So I actually should have edited it for them. So I apologize, Steve, because I know what you mean. I took the exams before and didn't pass. Is there a section that you would recommend before that changes? Is there a section you would recommend before the changes take place? Auditing, for sure, because of the clarified standards. The other ones might, like, you know, for regulation, the grandfathered, what am I trying to say? With the fiscal cliff, they retroactively, there we go. I was trying to think, grandfather. They retroactively made the tax law changes retroactive for the 2012 tax season. Well, that becomes testable July 1st because it's 6 months after implementation. But the biggie is auditing. Jason writes, what's the best? And so take auditing now before it changes. Jason writes, what's the best order to take the four sections of the exam? Because auditing is changing, take that first, then financial, then regulation, then BEC. And like, let's say you're starting from scratch in 2014, I would take financial, auditing, regulation, BEC. I always like to knock out financial first because it gets your 18-month window rolling with what many perceive to be the hardest exam. Anthony has a question about the 150 hours, about the 150-hour rule. When the new law goes into effect next year, requiring more accounting semester units to sit for the test, will the many people still in the middle of their testing, like myself, be, quote, grandfathered in, or will this be determined on a state-by-state basis? Anthony, the best thing you can do is to check with your state. You absolutely must check with your state. Call them and ask them, because I could give you an answer, but it's worthless. Of course, some of my answers, 90% of my answers might be worthless anyway. Call and ask, because every state's different. Every state has different rules. Like Kansas is a 150-hour state anyway. And so if your state is switching from 120 hours to 150 hours, which I assume that's what you're talking about, call and ask the executive director of your state board of accountancy, okay? Like, don't call and, you know, if Betty picks up the phone, because Betty works the phones or whatever, don't take Betty's word for it. Ask the executive director, or shoot the executive director an email and get it in writing. But make sure. Another resource that you can check out is NASBA's ALL, their Accounting Licensing Library. I think for like one day pass, at least this used to be the case, you get like a one day pass for like $10. So I once visited the NASBA headquarters and they took me around and they showed me the ALL deal, and it's pretty cool. So it's like $10. It gives you all the licensing stuff, all the hourly stuff. So that's good. Diane says, I'm a recent CPA candidate and trying to get my study plan together. I am not working under a licensed CPA. My question is on the one-year requirement of working under a CPA. What is the time frame of when that should be completed once the exams are passed? That's a state, Diane, that's a state-by-state question. What they say in Kansas, it's a uniform national, international exam. You are licensed by your state, and each state has their own little nuances. So call your state. Same thing as I said before. Ask the executive director of your state board of accountancy. All right, so time to give away the Ninja 10-point combo. Why is it called the Ninja 10-point combo? Well, because it adds, on average, 10 points to people's CPA exam scores after they fail an exam and restudy using the same base CPA review course, but then add the 10-point combo on average, based on a poll of, it was like 1,200 people. People on average, when they added the 10-point combo, the elements of the 10-point combo, on average, they added 10 points to their score. It had an overall 75% pass rate, which is pretty darn good, because the average pass rate for any given section is 50% or below. So, hey, there we go. And the Ninja 10-point combo comes with Ninja Notes, Ninja Audio, Ninja Flashcards, and multiple choice questions. And the winners are Rafi, Jessica,
No, Rafi Hamashin. I'm so Jessica. I mean, it's not that I'm uncultured, because in December I went to Honduras and lived there for a week and hung out at a village and helped them drill a water well and all that stuff, and you know, drank a ton of coffee and ate all their Honduran food. Like I try to be cultured. I spent 6 weeks in Indonesia once, in Surabaya, in Indonesia. So it's not like I've never left the farm. I don't actually live on a farm. It's more like a ranch with some pasture. But anyway, it sounds better when I say the farm. But I can't pronounce some names, but that's okay. Since I'm giving away free stuff, hopefully Rafi will forgive me. Also, Jessica Lynn Dunkel-Tate and Tabitha Kelly Lawson. You are the three winners of the Ninja 10-Point Combo. Hi-ya! Please email jeff@another71.com. Tell me what section you want, and I will hook you up. All right. If you would like to be on the show, if you would like your question answered in a reasonably accurate way, I will do my best. Go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner. You can see in the video the little green graphic. Click Ask Jeff and send it to me. Or go to, or just email me, jeff@another71.com, and put in the subject line, "Yo, got a question." Or if you're more refined, then you say, "Hey." Or call the Ninja Hotline, area code 323-834-9132. That's 323-834-9132. Now, if you call the Ninja Hotline, I'm putting you to the front of the line, because in the next show, usually I like to put people who actually call in. If you call the Ninja Hotline, you stand a very good chance of winning a Ninja 10-Point Combo, because usually people just write. They don't take the time to call, and so I like to hook people up with some Ninja goodies. And so, what do you need to do next? You need to go to another71.com and get my free CPA exam study planner. It's free. It has ninjas. Go now. All right, everyone. Thank you to everyone on Facebook for taking the time to ask your questions. I hope this has been beneficial to you. Until next time, everyone, take care, be good, and I will talk to you soon.
I'm not impressed by your performance.